All right, gentlemen, let's go back out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, where we find our friend and yours, Mr. Bob Walk, brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Safeguard your gutters with Gutter Helmet by Ledner Home Solutions, 888-5-HELMET, and by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Bob, thanks for joining us again. And I want to start with...
Hey, welcome back from vacation.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We're off to a rousing start here.
I just wanted to play with you there a little bit because you left Paul by himself last week. Not that I didn't enjoy that. In fact, it was kind of nice just talking to Paul.
Paul Skeens, they made an announcement at Indy, which they haven't done yet. Hey, come on out and see Paul Skeens Sunday, which has people thinking, maybe reasonably, that this might be his final start down there. I imagine, based on what you saw in spring training, that you're eagerly looking forward to this. And I'm wondering what more you think he might have to gain in AAA should they keep him down? At what point might it become counterproductive?
I don't know if it's going to be at any point really counterproductive, but him getting anything more accomplished, I think you will get to that point in what they've said. Excuse me, as far as getting stuff accomplished, is they want him to get used to being on that, the every 5 day type thing. They wanted him to know what that's like. And okay, I understand that, but I think he's done that, and also want to get his pitch count up to where you would be for a normal starter, and I think they've accomplished that too. So he's got to be getting really, really close. Are they playing Buffalo this next game?
Yep.
And I figured you would really want him up here before that because he's going to embarrass those guys again two games in a row.
And I'm a big Bisons fan.
And you're a Buffalo guy, so that's got to hurt you a little bit. But he's got to be up here sooner than later, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, Bob, that they want to bring him up for a home game, his debut for a home game. So, essentially, if he doesn't get up here by, say, Friday, we probably won't see him for another couple of weeks. I mean, do you get the sense that they want to bring him up for a home game?
They probably want to. I don't know if that's going to take priority over anything else. Everything is predetermined and planned out ahead of time. They have a track record of sticking to their plans, and we really aren't privy to what their plans are. We might have a little bit of an idea, but if he gets the first start on the road, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at that. But it would be nice for it to be at home. But even if it's his second start at home, he's still going to be somebody that fills up the seats, I would think.
Bob, we're wondering today if we're going to see, the day off yesterday, the end of the month of April, they're back in Pittsburgh, and the lineup has just been almost indescribably bad, and there's guys hitting at AAA. Will you be surprised if there aren't some announcements today as guys trickle into the room of a Nick Gonzalez or a Peguero or a Jiwon Bae or Jake Lamb, somebody, anybody to be called up and help this lineup?
I wouldn't exactly say what's going on if nobody was to get called up, but I wouldn't be, totally shocked. I do think that the one guy is probably going to be there is going to be Yasmani Grandal. I mean, he's the guy that they brought in to be the number one catcher. He's caught quite a few games down there. I think he's probably got about 40 at bats or so. I think he's got a home run and some RBIs. It looks like he's been ready for a while, and he's your everyday number one catcher. Then he's going to have to be up here. And so I think that, one of the two catchers is going to have to go. And I think everyone would look at that situation and say it's got to be Henry Davis because He's just been really suffering badly at the plate this year. And, you know, maybe if he goes down, just, you know, taking some pressure off, seeing some lesser pitching, you know, might help him out a little bit because, right, you know, he's just been lost at the plate. So that's one move that I would think that they would make for sure. As far as, you know, the other ones, they could make those, but they might wait until we get on the road to make those moves. You're right, though. I can't argue with you. The offense has just been horrible. This is, you know, I am just shocked at, because, I mean, coming out of spring training, I was one of the people that said, well, look at, go around here and look at all this potential power guys we have. This we should score a lot of runs this year. And, you know, the bullpen, I think, is going to be a really a great strength of the team. And the thing I was saying that I was concerned with was the starting pitching. And I couldn't have been more wrong. Offense is horrible. Bullpen has been spotty at times. And the thing that's keeping us in this a little bit has been some really good starting pitching. So I almost feel kind of foolish saying what I think is going to happen because all my predictions have gone exactly the other way.
The one thing, you know, I was going to ask you, because you've been obviously on teams over the past, and I'm assuming that you were on some teams that went through some hitting slumps or went through these times where they just could not manufacture runs. They couldn't, you know, come up with big hits. They couldn't, which is what the Pirates are going through right now. How difficult is it to get out of those funk? I mean, do you feel like you know, you've seen where guys start pressing and, you know, start really trying to do too much and struggle? I mean, how hard is it to get out of these kind of tailspins?
Well, the thing is, and I think in baseball, a lot of people say that it's like contagious, and I have never been one that, like, I just think that's kind of a cool saying. I don't think it really, I mean, how can it be contagious? You know, guys have to look within themselves, each guy that goes to the plate, and realize, you know, what they're doing wrong, and how to change that. Now, if you're a young guy that's never had success at the big league level, that might be a little difficult because you don't know what you're doing wrong because you have nothing to compare it to. You can't say, well, you know, look, the last 2 years I've been a 275 hitter with an OPS of 800. What was I doing? What's the difference? What am I not getting to now? What pitches am I not hitting? This is all individual wars that you're fighting up there. It's not a team thing. You can't sit around and have a meeting and say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It's just not, it doesn't like that. It's when you're up there, the pitcher's throwing and you're up there and it's a battle going on between you and the pitcher. Nobody else, you know, they can yell at you from the dugout and give you all this encouragement. None of that is worth anything if you don't have talent, a good approach, you know, an idea of what you're doing up there, knowing what the game situation is. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the team has to be more aggressive. Well, that's kind of a blanket statement, and it's really not really true. We might need to be more aggressive in situations where there's runners at second or runners at second and third where we can get some guys knocked in, RBIs. Why are we taking good pitches to hit in those scenarios? But if we're down by three runs and it's the seventh inning and I'm leading off, you know, let's say I take a 2-2 fastball on the outside corner, well, and the umpire calls strike three, that's not such a horrible thing being passive there because you need base runners. You got to have a big inning. The game situation, every at bat is different, and you have to adjust to that. And so you can't just say, okay, we're going to be aggressive tonight. Well, that's no good. You got to be aggressive in certain situations. You have to be passive and look for a certain pitch to hit. That's why when you're behind, the old saying, take a strike. What's that mean? Well, it means don't swing the bat until you get at least one strike on you because you're looking for walks. And that's those are just old rule of thumb things that, you know, they're also, I guess you could call them blanket statements, but they're covering a certain situation. And so that's what we need to think, I think, a little bit more situationally. Mm. When do we, like, and it's not just the borderline pitches either. when there's that guy at second base or a guy at third base, why get yourself into a two-strike spot and have to swing at a borderline pitch by taking a fastball right down the middle, which we've seen us do. I'm sure you guys would agree with that. But the first really good pitch you see, go after it. The only guy that I've seen that has been hitting situationally, being very aggressive when there's runners out there to knock in, has been Connor Joe. And it's not surprising that he's our best offensive player.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob Walk is on the line, social media's biggest loser, Malzi. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Bob, we had Johnny Pirato on the other day, and it was his opinion that Bednar, who now again has allowed runs in three straight outings, couple homers, something doesn't look right, at least to me and to John for sure, because Johnny's opinion was that he was brought back maybe too soon this year and that something physical may still be bothering him. What are you seeing?
Well, I can't tell anything physical because looking at his stuff, he looks fine, but he is much wilder than I've seen him in the past. Now, it's not – here's another thing that makes it more of a puzzle. It's not every time he goes out there. There's times he goes out there and he looks just like he always has. It's just very inconsistent with his command. And I didn't see this last outing that he had on the road trip where he gave up the home run.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, so I don't know what his stuff was like that day, but – for the most part, his stuff has been fine. And I guess I'm talking stuff-wise, his fastball. He's throwing the ball 96 to 98. And that's kind of where he, I guess, has always been. But he's always had real good command of that and real good command of his curveball where he could get ahead of guys, strike three. Mm. He used that split finger pitch for a swing and miss down and away, or the other swing and miss pitch would be he would get ahead and throw fastballs by guys up by the letters. But you got to have command to make that work. And there's days where he just doesn't have the command. And it's like he's just trying to throw the ball right down the middle, fastball-wise. And even when you're throwing 96 to 98, if guys are sitting on that, if guys are thinking, well, he can't get the breaking ball over the plate, I'm just going to sit fastball, you can turn on that. So I don't know, unless he comes out and says that he's got some arm problems or something's going on, I can't really say that it's a physical thing. And but it's there. I don't know what it is. And we've had this conversation before about, wildness. You either don't want to throw a strike or you can't throw a strike because it's a physical thing or it's something mechanical that you don't know you're doing wrong. But the mechanical thing to me is something that's always there where you're, if whatever it is you're doing mechanically with the timing, with your arm coming through and your hip rotation, all that stuff, it's going to be every pitch. It's not going to just kind of come and go. Whereas if there's something physical with his arm, maybe some days it feels great. Maybe some days it's hurting. And those are the days where he doesn't have the good control. So that's a possibility. Now, all these things are possibilities. I don't know. I'm not one to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, are you hurting?" I want to be able to say on the air tonight that you're physically hurting, and I would never do that, and I don't think he'd ever tell me either. Knowing who he is and how he is, he's never going to tell anybody, I think, in the media anyway, that I don't feel good, and that's why it would be like he's making an excuse, and he is as far from an excuse maker as you'll find anywhere.
Well, I think that's one of the things. We talked about their hitting slump and whatnot. I think they have Perez, Falter, and Jones going in this series against a really bad team with bad pitching. If ever there was a series, Bob, that this team needs needed in order to get healthy, you would think it's this. But then again, we thought that might be the A series, and they ended up getting swept. So what do they have to do here to make sure that this isn't a repeat of that?
Well, I thought you might bring up that this is a good series because you get the Angels coming in and they're not lighting the ball. You know, Trout's gone. We should win a bunch of these games, you would think. But then as you say that, as I say that, I hear a little voice in my mind going, well, you just got swept by the Oakland A's, which they're right in that bunch, you know, with Colorado and the Angels. So, I think that we need to not look at who we're playing. We better act like we're, you know, playing the Braves and the Dodgers here and try to play our best baseball. But, be aggressive when there's runners to knock in. And when there's nobody out there, then work the counts and try to get your walks in those situations. Keep doing that. Or I guess in some cases you could say start doing that. Maybe the runs will come. But one thing is missing for sure that I thought we would have is more home runs at this point. I thought we'd be a team that could hit some home runs. I mean, you got Sawinski and Reynolds out there. They're, you know, proven 25 a year home run guys. And you go around. I was hoping Hayes would be more of a home run type hitter after watching what he did the last couple months of the season last year. And Cruz, I mean, he's as rusty as you can be. You can really tell that he missed the whole season with a broken leg, and he has really struggled out there. Yeah, you probably weren't looking. Maybe Peguero is the only guy in that mix when we went to spring training that could probably be a little bit of a help in the home run department. And you look over at first base, you had Connor Joe and Rowdy Tellez, and Rowdy was going to be the, you know, hitting all the right-handed pitchers, and you were looking for, you know, quite a few home runs from that duel, you know, most of them from Rowdy, and it's just not happening. And I have no answers. I wish I could tell you guys something other than just, you know, you got to have a good approach when you go to the plate. I mean, everybody knows that, and it sounds good to talk about, but if they're not hitting, they're not hitting. Some of these guys have proven that in the past that they're good, and some of them haven't proven anything yet.
So, Bob, I have a question. Oh, sorry.
See what goes on. I just said we just got to wait and see how it goes. But, back to your original question when we went on the air, there's got to be changes eventually if it keeps going like this.
Well, let's get to the big news here. It's a big night at the ballpark, and I'm not talking about fireworks night. I'm not talking about the Pirates getting back on track. I'm talking about Paul Zeiss and myself throwing out the ceremonial first pitch. It's a fan fireworks night. Therefore, we get a couple hosts to throw out the pitch tonight, Bob, and it's going to be me and Paul. How should we handle this? You spent a lot of your life on a major league mound. Paul and I have not spent one second on one. What should we do? What should we throw? Should we wave to the crowd? What? Tell us.
I think when you get out there, of course, you're going to have to wave to the crowd a little bit. That's, you know, why you're there. You got to have fun with it. If you really want to, you know, go all in, you got to go back to the rubber. You can't throw from the front edge of the mound. You know, like it's a softball game. Go on back, get on the rubber. Now, hopefully you can throw all the way from the rubber to home plate. I think you can. If there's any chance to play some catch before you guys get out there, go ahead and take advantage of that. Play a little catch. It'll take some of the nerves away, and you'll feel better about it. But it's a big responsibility. I've seen a lot of people out there, some famous people go out and just totally embarrass themselves. And that's what you always think about that guy, is that bad throw.
Oh, my God.
And I've seen some people go out there and really do a great job. And that's all people. Oh, I remember when he threw out the first pitch, boom, right down the middle for a strike. And it looked like he really had something on it. That's what you're remembered by. So just as you stand on that rubber, you can just think, this is what everyone's going to remember me by right here, right now.
No pressure. Thank you, Bob.
All right. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys next week, and hopefully we have some better stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I hope we do. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Bob.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you then.
All right, we'll see you, Bob. Bye-bye.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And What's Cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Fan weather still looks nice out. Paul and I throwing out the first pitches tonight at the Pirate game, which is going to be unbelievable. He just texted me to remind him, reminded me to bring him a glove, which I hope I don't forget. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring's here, so are the deals at Sun Chevy, sunchevy.com. High of 83, cloudy skies, 40% chance of rain. Do I owe you anything else, city limits?
Just our friends on Twitter.
Our friends on Twitter. Yes, I will do that in a moment. Listen to this before we get to texts in the city. Frank Saravalli, Paul, who told us about all this stuff the other day, Dubas and Sully. That was his. Can you turn on Paul, Ron Cook's mic?
I am
mic
here, yes.
He's got it now.
Listen to this tweet. In light of word that Todd Reirden has been fired today.
Okay.
Quote, there was no shortage of friction in Pittsburgh, where, as we reported, Coach Mike Sullivan was vehemently opposed to making changes to his staff. Now that GM Kyle Dubas has fired Todd Reirden, is that the tipping point on Sullivan's tenure? We shall see. I know you and I were looking at it like, okay, Sully gave in here. He wasn't using this. But what if Sully is irate at the moment?
Yeah.
What if now he's more determined to say, you want to make changes to my staff? I'm the guy here. I'm Fenway's guy. All right. Get me out of here. And what if Dubas is saying, really? Okay, because that's what I wanted anyway. I'm trying to think real time on this. If this is honestly Sully, you know, being totally against this and not just using this as a way to get out of town,
right?
Then the arrogance of this is mind-boggling.
Oh, absolutely.
Mike, your power play was the worst in the league. It was mediocre last year. When I say worst, I know technically not by percentage, but if you add in all the shorthanded goals, not to mention the talent level you had, the fact that you would be, as Saravalli said, vehemently opposed to a change, I can't even wrap my mind around. It just speaks of delusion and arrogance that a guy who ran your crappy, historically crappy power play, which killed your season, you think should remain on staff. I don't even know what to say,
well,
Paul.
Well, I mean, again, if you're going to basically be that arrogant that you believe that you should be able to make that call and that you don't need to make any changes. Then
has anybody told Mike that he's missed the playoffs the last two years?
Mean, yeah,
does he know?
You need to go.
Does he know he had a worse team this year than last year by points?
Yes.
Fewer wins. Has anybody told him he's not playing right now? This is unbelievable stuff.
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand why. Well, I do understand why he thinks it can be like this, because they've won.
The
owners love him.
Right.
And, you know, as we've talked about in this town, the results of the games don't seem to matter.
Isn't it interesting, though, that if this is true, that he was vehemently opposed to this, that Dubas got his way?
Yeah. If he was vehemently opposed to it, how about what if Sullivan said, listen, if you're going to do this, you got to do it. In other words, Dubas basically took Sullivan out of the way and told Reirden, you're gone.
Is this the tipping point on Sullivan's tenure? We shall see, says Frank Saravalli. Wow. All right, let's get to a couple texts in the city. You read them, we rank them. Go ahead, City Limits.
Yeah, one observation that's probably nothing that I took away from that real quick was that, remember when Matt Canada was fired and it was announced, Mike Tomlin announced Matt Canada was fired?
Yeah.
Anything to Kyle Dubas saying it instead of a statement from Mike Sullivan?
I don't know. It seemed to come from the Penguins statement. I honestly can't say. When they fired other assistants, has it been Mike Sullivan made this move? I don't know, honestly. I can't answer that, Limits.
The texters are very, very pumped up for your first pitch.
Let's
and to see what's going to happen. The texters say that from Andy and Bradenton, for your first pitch advice, warm up by throwing batting practice to the Buccos. You'll feel like Paul Skeens in AAA.
Well, like that, that's a 9.5.
Yes,
Paul.
That's a 9.5 at least.
Bolster our confidence by throwing to their lineup. Right. Next.
Christian Menaka says that the hot take on the first pitch tonight will be that Joe throws a strike and yells, "Holy bird milk," followed by Zeiss plunking him in the head.
I think Paul might go after me before the game. That's an 8.5.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah,
I like that. Eight, at least?
Eight.
Yeah.
Eight,
Paul
eight
gives
is
it
good.
An eight.
Eight is good.
All right.
Other texters say that you and Paul should line up for a relay pitch to the plate in case you can't make it there.
I told Crowley and Dickerson they should do that. That would be unbelievable if Paul got the ball at second base, relayed it to me like, who was it? Who was it who made that? Was it Justin Morneau who made the throw in Wrigley Field when they ended the losing streak that year to Russell Martin?
Yes.
That would be incredible.
That's a great pull.
One more.
Dave and Katanning. Paul, you should ask Rowdy Tellez for his glove. He doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's rough. I'll give him a 7.5, though.
That's rough. Also, you know, he's actually reasonably okay.
Yeah, he's a decent first baseman.
One more. First pitch tonight, one of Yin's air mails it, and the other bounces it. Crowley rejoices.
No, I'm throwing a strike because I'm going to lob it. Paul, I'll see you at the ballpark.
Sounds good. We will do it again.
I'll see you at the ballpark. You're going to film this for the station,
right? I will be there, yes.
So you're going to be there on time?
5:30.
Paul, you're going to be on time?
Yes.
You're going to be at Mike's Beer Bar. I hope to meet you there for Steak on a Stone.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Bye, guys.